Well, I was away, and I was away. I was out of town, so I was. A man that I got to know over the last 5 years passed away, and he was a resident of Inchalachill in Mo Cullen there. And he sat beside my uncle Joe, who died on the 18th of May. And there was a man called Dermot Frawley. I didn't know his surname. I knew him as Dermot, with the glasses, the gentlest soul that you've ever come across. But the three amigos that used to sit together were Dermot, now Dermot Frawley, that I know his surname, Joe Thornton, as in my uncle, and Sean Connor from Drum as well, a neighbour of Joe's. So the three of them used to sit together in Inchalachill, and they sorted the world. They really did. Three very intelligent men, I have to say. But he passed away, and he was from Salt Hill as well. We had many a conversation. A very intelligent man. I don't know what he did in life. He was a very private man, very intelligent, but he passed away, and his funeral was yesterday. He was reposing in Flaherty's funeral parlour from 10:30 yesterday, and then Mass at Christ the King Church from there and onwards to Loughrea to be buried. A gentleman of gentlemen. I was actually very sad to hear he had passed away, because he had a smile, and he sat there in his chair, and he walked, and he walked, and he walked, but he wouldn't blow out a candle, the man. He was just such the gentlest soul I've come across in life. But may he rest in peace, and everyone else belonging to him, family-wise and otherwise. I don't know who was in family or otherwise. Again, I only learned when I was collecting something yesterday from Charles Gillen that his name was Frawley. That's all I heard from there. Anyway, the end of another era there. Now, Sexual Health West are to hold their annual World AIDS Day concert tomorrow evening in St. Nicholas's Church. Lorraine O'Connell, Sexual Health Education Coordinator at Sexual Health West, joins you on the line today. Lorraine, good to talk to you. How are you today?
I am great, Keith, and thank you so much for having us on just to talk about the concert. And we're delighted to have it up and running again. Obviously, for the last 2 years, we couldn't. But it's brilliant to be back in St. Nicholas's, and just to thank them so much for every year giving us their fabulous venue. So we also have Cush Clada are playing in Belcanto. And again, for them, you know, they play a blinder every year. We're delighted to have them back, and it will be followed by some food and drink and chat. So we'd just like to extend an invitation to everybody in the west of Ireland and to their families as well, Keith, to join us on the night. And I suppose as an organisation, you know, we're Sexual Health West. Formerly, people would have known us as AIDS West, and we'd have worked to educate and support and advocate for people affected by HIV in the west of Ireland. But also providing our RSD in schools and promoting positive sexual health, but again, highlighting risks such as STIs, including HIV. So it's a lovely evening, and it's obviously there to, you know, in memory of people who've lost their lives to AIDS-related illnesses, and again, remembering their families and their loved ones, Keith, of those who've been affected. So I suppose it's great in one sense that we can look at HIV and the diagnosis and how it's actually been changed. And most people living in Ireland, you know, are on treatment, which is great, which makes the virus actually undetectable, which that means, you know, they can't pass it on to another person once they're adhering to their treatment, which is fantastic news.
It is, because, I mean, you and I would have worked on this a long time ago now at this stage, and there was a lot of stigma attached to HIV and AIDS, which there should not have been. But the new treatment and the education process that you, when it was AIDS West and now indeed Sexual Health West, were involved in, that whole process came together very well.
It did, you know, and in fairness, when we think about it now, I suppose really what we're saying to people is, you know, the main message for people to get tested, go for their regular STI checkups. There's a fantastic service now as well being run through the HSC, SH24. And just in relation to what you're saying as well about stigma there and people, you know, having to disclose their diagnosis, there's a screening actually this evening as well of how to tell a secret. And it actually explores the act of disclosure of being HIV positive. And basically the stigma that drives people to withhold their status within contemporary Ireland as well. So that's a really, you know, I'm hoping to make it myself, but that's on tomorrow evening as well in the Palace Cinema at 6 p.m. So tickets are available on their website. But yes, it really, you know, challenges and looks at the challenges actually that people have that do unfortunately still exist, but like they really, really shouldn't, as you said. And again, you know, we have PEP, where you can, this is HIV medication that can be taken within 72 hours of people actually come in contact with the virus. And then there's also this HIV prep kit that's been available where people, HIV negative people, can access this, you know, before they'd engage in sexual activity. So the advances in treatment have just been fantastic. So, just to say to people,
tomorrow's going to be a busy night for them, because, I mean, if they want to go to the screening, you were saying that's in Palace Cinema tomorrow, that's at 6 o'clock. And how long would that be? And will they get up in time to St. Nicholas's for 8 o'clock?
They would indeed. It runs, I think it's 90 minutes. That's what it runs for. So that would be starting at 6, we'll say over at 7:30, take a nice little walk up to St. Nicholas's. Hopefully the weather will be nice, and have a lovely walk around the city and get up to St. Nicholas's for 8.
Right. Now, the event in St. Nicholas's is free of charge, by the way, to anybody that wants to go along. And I mean, the likes of Bel Canto and Cush Claddy and the rector, indeed, Linda, they've been very good to you, because this has been going on a long number of years, so it has. It's kind of becoming, no more than other aspects of what we spoke about this morning, it's becoming the real start of Christmas.
Oh, it really is. And it's such a lovely setting. And just the candles and, you know, as we said, with Bel Canto and Cush Claddy, like, we have so much, we're so thankful to them. And they make it such a special event. And definitely, you know, they're adding in lovely little Christmas hymns in there as well. And it really is the beginning of Christmas, I think, for a lot of people. So, you know, there's a lot to celebrate with the evening as well. And obviously, for people not being able to attend over the last number of years, we're really looking forward to it ourselves.
So, it's, I mean, again, I take it the Palace Cinema, they can buy the tickets online there, I take it?
They can. They're available on their website, on the Palace website.
Okay, and it's a lovely location down there. I was there again recently to look at it was a beautiful documentary, so it was, in relation to art. So, and Mr. Turner, the artist, it's a beautiful location, so they can get
it's
that.
Lovely.
So they could make tomorrow night a special night, come in, grab a cup of coffee, grab a cup of tea, go to the Palace Theatre, finish there about 7:30, meander up to St. Nicholas's Collegiate Church, enjoy the music, and what, they should be on the road home by about 10-ish?
Absolutely, yes. And again, as I said, afterwards, you know, there's some lovely food, there's some alcoholic beverage, non-alcoholic beverages for people, and it's just getting to meet people again after the last couple of years and having a chat afterwards. So again, just extending the invitation to anybody who'd like to attend would be brilliant.
Yeah, it is important that people know that it's on and just get involved with it as well. Listen, thanks a million for joining us today. Just Lorraine, before I let you go, so that's tomorrow. But if somebody's listening to us and they're concerned about HIV or sexual health or otherwise, there's an office number that they can call to get further details or to talk to someone on this.
Absolutely. So if they call our office number, which is 091-566-266, also they could email info@sexualhealthwest.ie, and there's our support worker there who would always be available for somebody to actually talk to or to meet face to face. So it's really important that people would be aware, you know, we're based in town, so that's handy for people as well. But just again, yes, the number is 091-566-266, and again, anybody is welcome to contact us and talk to us confidentially about any of their sexual health needs or anything around HIV or STIs.
Normally when we mention the word sex or sexual health or whatever, the phone lines go blue in here saying, what are you talking about that this hour of the morning for? We're talking about reality here, and could we debunk all these myths and everything that's out there that we're promoting promiscuity? And I mean, you'd want to see some of the texts that come in and calls that come in on this one, Lorraine. I mean, we're talking we're talking about human beings here, and we're talking about 2022, and we're talking about the 30th of November, 2022. It'll soon be 2023 very quickly, so it will. It'll come around very quickly, and then it'll be 24. We should be able to pick up the phone if we've got a concern, talk to somebody, your GP, or the team on 091-566-266, and just talk. We're in a modern era at this stage. And if you have a question, ask it.
Well, this is it. And I think it's so important with the work we're doing within schools. You know, we're working with junior cycle, senior cycle. We're working with young people in primary school, and they have so many questions. And we know parents are trying their best, and they really are, and they really want to give them information about their sexual health, about their bodies, about relationships, you know, in the future. So it's so important. But we know adults do struggle Keith, so it is, you know, it's so important for them to know that they can contact somebody, know that there's support there. So as you said, to give us a call, to talk to us, and we can definitely, you know, point them in the right direction if we need to, or deal with whatever the issue is ourselves.
Look, I think we just need to keep talking about it, Lorraine. You've been working at it a long time, so you have, and we just have to. It's not, we just can't stick our head in the sand for yet again another generation on this one.
Absolutely. And the young people really want, you know, they want good information. They want, you know, to make sure that they're getting factual, that they're getting non-judgmental education, which is what we're trying to give. And just to throw it in there, Keith, while we're talking about it as well, we have our book Sex Educated that just has won Book of the Year, which is fantastic. And that's there for parents to be able to access to get information for their young people. It would make a lovely Christmas stocking filler, I think. So Sex Education is out there as well.
What's the book? Sorry, go back in your line just after. What was the book that was Book of the Year, did you say?
So it's Sex Educated. We just won this. We just found out. I just found out myself this morning. So it's a book that we published ourselves with Grace Alice O'Shea. So it's out there for parents, for young people, really for young people from the age of 13 up, that could read it themselves. Or what I was saying there, for anybody who has a young person, to get information that they can relate to them about sexual health, about relationships, about their bodies, STIs, contraception, everything's in there.
And it's Book of the Year. You just got details over there. And it's called Sex Educated.
Sex Educated.
And where can they buy a copy of that?
So if people were in town, now before they even go to the concert this evening, or the Palace, or tomorrow evening, sorry, it's in Charlie Burns in town. It's also in Dupreys. And then it's also available on our website. So www.sexualhealthwest.ie.
And is there a charge on it?
There is. It's €18, and that includes post and packaging.
Could be the best €18 that a parent could spend for Christmas. So
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And again, it's being able to open up those conversations, Keith. So it's great that it's out there, and it's great that it's got the recognition, because it is an amazing publication for anyone, even for any teacher, for any youth worker, anybody who is a young person in their lives and needs, you know, some information themselves that they can relate, or just hand over the book to them.
All right, listen, well done to you. Congratulations on all the work that you do there. And Lorraine O'Connell joining us there. And I know Lorraine a long, long time. And she does a great job with all of the rest of the team there. So congratulations to Lorraine. And again, if you want to get further details, you can do so. Tomorrow evening, if you want to get further details, Sexual Health West. So the screening is in the Palace, and the event itself is all free of charge in St. Nicholas's. It is very special, guys. It's been a long number of years since I've been there, but I was there a few times indeed, a good few years ago, and it's a lovely night, and it's free, and there'll be mince pies and a glass of wine if you want it, or a glass of something else, or a cup of tea or something. And it's all about keeping that conversation like we're having today very open. It's 11:24 now.
Galway Talks, in association with Tesco. Keep it local. Working with over 30 new West of Ireland suppliers.
A very good morning to you. Welcome on into today's programme. We've a great little country that we live in, I have to say. And we have an awful lot to thank for what our ancestors have done. And I'm only talking about two generations, so I'm not going any further. Brendan McGowan joins me. He's curator of Galway City Museum. But Irish Civil War stories to be told at Galway City Museum to mark the centenary. When is this taking place, Brendan, can I ask you?
Yeah, this is taking place this Saturday in the Druid, not in the museum itself.
In Druid, Druid Lane.
In Druid Lane, yeah. It's taking place in there. It's more spacious, so it allows us to do it there. And what it is, we're doing a talks on Pádraic Amhála and Liam Mellows in advance of the centenary of the attack on Pádraic Amhála and the execution of Liam Mellows as a retaliation.
I was reading through the script last night, and it's quite amazing when you see some of the notes that were coming out before they were executed. I mean, they're quite chilling.
Yeah, it's sad reading through the whole thing, because here you have two men who had been in the first and second Dáil Éireann for Galway. You had two men who were involved in the 1916 Rising here in Galway. You had, Pádraic Amhála, Galway man, and involved in the Irish language movement for years here, involved in the formation and spread of both the Irish Volunteers and Sinn Féin. So they've given up a good chunk of their lives to realising the same ideal, I suppose, in a way, that of a free, independent Ireland, and then just happened to be on opposite sides during the Civil War.
And this is only a century ago.
It's not that long ago. And one thing that happened to me earlier this year, and I don't know if I've said it on air before, but I sat down, had a cup of tea with a man earlier this year in Mike Cullen, who had a photo on a shelf of his father with Pádraig Pearse. Not his grandfather, great-grandfather, his father. And that really brought it home to me how recent these things are, that if you can have a cup of tea with a man whose father was friends with Pádraig Pearse, these events aren't that long ago.
My father-in-law turned 100 recently, so he was born 100 years ago this year.
Wow.
But, I mean, his people before them, they would have all, well, going back, they lived of a healthy age. So that's what I'm saying, it's only two generations.
And even that, I always, my grandmother, who I'd have been very close to, would have spoken about people who she knew that were born during the famine.
Yeah.
So the idea that I've spoken to someone who knew people who lived through the famine, again, it brings how close a distance these things are, you know?
That's why I say we have a wonderful country, because there were dark times, and we spoke about this yesterday, and a totally different subject altogether to do with the famine. There were dark times.
Yeah, we don't sometimes realise how good we have it today. I know no country's perfect, and we have plenty to complain about in some ways, but, by comparison, we're doing okay.
But when you take the likes of your grandmother and you take the likes of my father-in-law, like, they had tough times during the war, and otherwise, you know, not for the Civil War we're talking about today, but like in the 1940s, they had tough times. They had really rough, my mother had, my father-in-law, my uncle, they all had tough times then, my father.
Yeah, and it was same if they weren't emigrating to England at all, you know, it was tough on that side for the ones that went, and it was tough on the ones that were left behind.
So they're kind of looking at our generation saying, ah, lads, electricity, mobile phones, lights, camera, action.
I think that's the case with every generation. I think we look at the generation before us, say it about us, and we'll say it about the generation after us.
I don't know if it'll move that fast. So how are you going to take them through on this journey then in the McLally Theatre this coming Saturday?
Yeah, well, I suppose we have an exhibition in the museum, which it's been up for about a month, and people are welcome to come visit. It's a small exhibition, but it's a powerful exhibition, which tells the story of both Pádraig, Amalia and Liam Mellows. And it has a number of fascinating objects. I think, for example, we have a revolver that was gifted by Michael Collins to Pádraig Amalia on his wedding day. 11 months later, Amalia was stood by the graveside as Collins was being buried. And we also have the last letter of Liam Mellows, which he wrote to his mother just before his execution, which has never been on public display before. It's on loan from the National Museum of Ireland and is only on for the few months that the exhibition is running. So people could come in and see that in advance, and it's running until next May. And then also, as I said, we have those commemorative talks in the Druid on Saturday starting at lunchtime, so 1 p.m. If people are interested, they should book via the museum, so 532-460. It's important to book, as we only have 100 seats and more than half of them are already full.
532-460. And if they say we're full, just say Brendan said to call.
There's plenty of room.
Just say Brendan said to call. He said I can stand at the back of the room if you want from there.
Well, the thing is, if people don't get, we are also lucky to have funding to film it. So it will be filmed and made available online afterwards as well. So people will be able to see it if they don't. And if people are abroad listening, they'll be able to see it at some stage on the museum website or our YouTube channel.
But when you talk about the revolver, you talk about the last letter that he sent home, that must put the kind of the hair standing on your neck when you think about it now.
I think for me, yes. You know, I think that's one of the things museums offers, which you won't get out of a book. I mean, you could read this similar information to this on a book in a book or online, but what you get in the museum is different, that you get these real objects. So, for example, we have a hat that Liam Mellows bought in New York. It's a Stetson, made by Stetson of Philadelphia, that Liam had bought in New York and wore on his journey back to Ireland in 1920. So he'd fled after the 1916 rising. And when he returned in disguise, he had this hat on his head. And we have that. And his last public appearance was at the graveside of Wolfetone before he was arrested at the fall of the forecourts and taken into custody. And he stood at the graveside of Wolfetone, and beside him is Countess Markievicz, and he's got glasses on him. And that's his last public appearance before his arrest. And we have the glasses he wore that day. We have a stove, a heating stove that was used by Pádraig Amalia when he was on the run up in the mountains in Connemara. And this stove, as someone pointed out to me, and sometimes you've got to really think about the object, you know, it's a simple, mundane stove. But at the same time, the comfort it would give to someone in a cave in the winter in 1920 in Connemara on the run from the police while he was a TD. So he was a TD in hiding in a cave, and this brought comfort to him. So it was used for heating and for cooking up in the cave. So when you look at these objects, you know, and there's another great object that I like is, because Porrick was known as Porrick More Amalia, during the civil, you know, at this time he would have been about little over 6 foot and 17 stone. So he's known as Porrick More. But we have a medal that he won in 1906 in Turlochmore for the shot put. And the newspaper account says he won it with ease. So it was 56 pounds and 28 pounds, and no competitor came near him.
Wow. No, that wasn't, that's not what he won. That was the weight of the...
That was the weight, and that's what he threw, and that's what he got the gold medal for. And we have the medal on display as part of this exhibition. So very good objects connected to both men.
But how long did it take you to put all this together?
It's only a small exhibition in terms of text content, but I suppose we were lucky enough to work with the National Museum, and we have a fine collection of Liam Mellow's material already. And then we were in contact with the family of Porrick Amalia, particularly Emer Joyce, and she was very good to us. Mary O'Malley and Joe O'Malley. So the family members have loaned us these objects to put into the exhibition.
Which, and they're very good to do it though, aren't they?
Yeah, and I suppose that's the thing. You're kind of working in partnership with people, and it's great to make these connections because, you know, people out there have the objects and they have the stories with it, and a museum needs those. Without those, we have nothing.
Yeah, you don't. No, you don't have anything on it from there. So are you saying then the exhibition runs right through until May then? That's
just the exhibition will run into May, to the centenary anniversary of the end of the Civil War. A Civil War that claimed 1,500 deaths, including 81 Free State executions. So the exhibition will run for the duration of that, and we will have this event and then a number of other events in the new year around anniversaries that are coming up, tragic anniversaries that are coming up.
It's really, it's fascinating, and people should get involved in this, so they should. They should get involved, Brendan, at this stage. You know, this, and the wealth of knowledge that you have should be acknowledged as well.
Well, I'm piggybacking a lot of great research done by other people as well, you know, over the years, and just kind of distilling it down to put into an exhibition, you know. But it's been great, you know, getting out and talking to people. You know, a stove like that we got from Arthur Joyce, and Arthur had great stories, and he got that stove from the quartermaster, the West Connemara Flying Column, you know, during the War of Independence, to have that stove and to have the story with it. I mean, that story's laying a shed for a long time, and you know, it forms now a centrepiece of the exhibition.
And could have rotted in that shed, couldn't it?
And that's the thing, I mean, and I'm sure for, you know, not just this period, but right across the board, the history of Galway, there are people with objects out there. So we're always, you know, keen to hear from people from Galway if they have objects.
My grandfather, my mum's father, was heavily involved in that whole dispute at the time. He ended up in jail, and the records are there for it. The cathedral is today. But like, just the dedication, and he had two young kids around that time, but the dedication just to keep going for the cause was just amazing.
Yeah, I'm amazed by it, because if you look at, you know, the period we're covering, so Porrick Amalia comes out from having lunch in the Ormond Hotel in Dublin. He's a TD, he's Las Cian Corlia, which is the same position held by our own Catherine Connolly today. He's making his way to Dáil Éireann. He's about to get into a Hackney cab on his way to Dáil Éireann, and the anti-treaty IRA open fire and shoot at him and Sean Hales from Cork, another TD who gets killed. Amalia escapes with his life, you know. And I suppose the big tragedy in all that is the cabinet that night, not the government, but just the cabinet, meet secretly and decide to execute these four men, including Liam Mellows, who, you know, has special significance here in Galway. We have the statue in our square and the barracks named after him, and he led the rising in Galway. And it just highlights the tragedy of the period. But I suppose the biggest thing in that is the last man to agree to the executions was Kevin O'Higgins. And he was particularly reluctant because the year before, one of those four men that he was signing their life away was his best man at his wedding.
Just shows how difficult it was. Listen, further details can be had by going along, Brendan McGowan. It's War of Friends, 1922-23, the Civil War story of Porrick Amalia and Liam Mellows, taking place in the McLally Theatre this coming Saturday, the 3rd of December at 12 p.m. Further details can be had. Give me that telephone number again.
It's a 1 p.m. It's a 1 p.m. The event in the Druid, and if people wanted to go, they should contact the museum on 091-532-460.
Sorry, my brief just said 12 there, so we'll scratch it out. So we'll 1 o'clock, yeah. So they're going to have a bit of lunch beforehand. Listen, thanks for popping into us and thanks for joining us today. It's a great story. It's a really powerful story, and we just hope that it just resonates with people, and young people should go along and get involved. Brandon, as always, thank you for popping in. I love when you come into us because you always bring a lovely story with you.
Thanks a million.
For popping into us. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a small bit of music, and we're back then. We're talking to Mary Nash from Galway Hospice Foundation about a lovely event taking place to light the tree this coming Sunday, so stay tuned for that and more to come. If you want to get in contact with the museum, you can do so. 532460, you can get those tickets. They're free of charge. That's 011-532-460. The event's at 1 o'clock this coming Saturday, the 3rd of December, at War of Friends, 1922 to 1923. And further details can be had by going or just call them 011-532-460, or pop into the museum as well and have a good look at the memorabilia that they have there. Now, though, let's take a short bit of music on this Christmas time, and we're back with Mary Nash and much more between now and 12 midday.
Galway Bay FM with your local Mace, making your Christmas extra special with festive offers.
In association with Tesco.
If you want to get in contact with us, we'd like to hear from you today. That's comments at galwaybayfm.ie. And we'll play this and then go straight to Mary.
Galway Bay FM with your local Mace, making your Christmas extra special with festive offers.
A very good morning to you on this Wednesday morning. Welcome in to today's program. Let me go to Mary Nash, Chief Executive of Galway Hospice Foundation, in relation to a lovely special event that's taking place in person again next Sunday, the 4th of December at 5 p.m, and all to do with the switching on of the Christmas tree lights by Dáithí O'Shea, and they'll have loads of music and otherwise there, but Mary joins you on the line. Mary, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
Thanks for joining
us. Thanks for having me on this morning.
No problem. It's great to have things in person again, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's we're gradually getting back to normal here at the hospice. So I suppose for the last 2 years, we've been talking to ourselves and we've been turning on the lights and the Christmas tree and streaming it. So this year now, we're inviting everybody to come back to the hospice for the turning on of the lights on our Christmas tree on Sunday. You know, it should be, I think, a lovely evening. We have lots of music. We're going to have Jimmy Buckley, the Skull Katrina Children's Choir. We'll have tenor Frank Naughton here. And as you said, Dahi, who comes every year, is going to turn on the lights in the tree for us. And Brian in the kitchen will be providing some light refreshments for people. So we'll have tea, coffee, some punch, non-alcoholic, for those people who are driving, and some mince pies. So, you know, we're asking everybody to come to the hospice around 5 o'clock on Sunday to celebrate the turning on of the lights on the Christmas tree with us.
Now, the beauty of it is, though, that people can also sponsor a light on this tree for a loved one or just for themselves.
You can. So if you're not able to make it on the day, we're going to stream the event. So you can go to the Galway Hospice website and you'll get the link to the whole ceremony. And you can also go onto the Galway Hospice website and sponsor a light on the tree. And you can afterwards, once you've sponsored the light, you can go back in and you'll be able to find the light, the virtual light on the tree that will be there in memory of your loved one. So, you know, if you can't come down in person and have your light and place it at the tree, you can do it with us remotely and sponsor a light on the website, on the tree on the website. So we're just asking everybody, I suppose, to come back and support us. It'd be great to have I think the weather hopefully will be dry. So it would be lovely to have a big crowd here again, you know, after sort of doing this on our own for the last couple of years. So, and we're hoping to have some patients and families that'll be able to come out and celebrate the event with us as well.
And it's kind of that time of year where you remember those that you've lost, be it this year or last year, or previous years as well. And now is the ideal time just to make that donation and buy that light and watch it on the tree and just remember that person. It's a very poignant moment.
It is. You know, when you see everybody coming up during the event to place their lights under the tree, I suppose it really, you pause for breath when you sort of look at the amount of people that come and the number of lights. But it's also, you know, it's a very special event because Christmas is a happy time. So I think, you know, while people are taking time out to remember, it's more a celebration of life, you know, than anything else. So it's sort of, I suppose, taking time to remember the good times and to celebrate the good times we've had with those who have gone before us, and do that by placing the light on the tree or sponsoring a light virtually. So, you know, there's normally lots of lots of great music. And, you know, for me, it's the sort of start of the Christmas season. Once the lights go on at the tree here, you know, you can think about putting your tree up at home, and really is permission to start the Christmas celebration. So, you know, I would say to people, if you're around Galway, if you're in at the Christmas market, you're in doing a bit of shopping and you're coming back out, you know, drop into the hospice at 5 o'clock on Sunday evening. We'd love to see you. And, you know, the music will be fantastic. I know the Skull Katrina Choir, you know, comes in here to daycare. In normal times, they used to come in every year and the patients really love them. And, you know, Jimmy Buckley has been very, very good to us. And, you know, I think Jimmy's always it's a pleasure to see him in action and to listen to him. And then Dahi, we couldn't turn on the lights without Dahi. He's been there pretty much all the way through over the last number of years that we've had the tree. So he'll be turning on the lights again this year.
And of course, all Brian and all the maintenance team that put this together, indeed, to make it possible within the hospice, as well as Brian.
The tree is leaning a bit at the minute, Keith, but we'll straighten it up before Sunday.
It was out late last night. So can they also ring the hospice on 091 770 868 and buy over the phone?
Absolutely. And you know, if you, we also have other things in our shop for Christmas. You know, we have the Galway Hospice Christmas cards. We have a calendar for 2023. We have some decorations for the Christmas tree, little angel pins. And this year we also have Christmas wrapping paper. So, you know, if you don't want to sponsor a light, there's other ways you can support the hospice. And there's many shops throughout the city and county that are selling our Christmas cards. So you can ring into reception, or again, you can go online onto our website, galwayhospice.ie, onto the shop and purchase whatever you'd like, and we'll get it out to you within the next few days.
Mary, thanks for joining us today. And again, 0917708868. The critical time is 5 p.m. this coming Sunday, the 4th of December. If you want to get further details, you can ring them or just go to galwayhospice.ie /lights from there. And parking wise, can they use the church car park, do you reckon, around that time?
I think you probably can. There'll be very, very limited parking, I would say, in the hospice. So go around the back to the church. If there's I don't think there should be anything on at that time. It's probably the best place to try in terms of parking. There will be a little bit here, but I would say very, very limited parking, just because we'll have to block off a lot of spots to have space for the choir and space for the refreshments outside.
And there's a little pathway at the very back of the church that will bring you straight into the hospice.
We will have people directing. You know, we'll have somebody at the entrance here directing people in terms of where we think they can park on the evening. So if you're not sure, just come to the hospice entrance and there'll be somebody there that'll be able to direct you to where you can park.
Mary Nash, Chief Executive of Galway Hospice, thank you indeed for joining us today on the programme. And if you want to get in contact with Galway Hospice Foundation, you can do so on 0917708868. That's 0917708868. For further details from there. That's fairly well it for today. If you do want to get in contact with us, you can do so. Comments, comments at galwaybfm.ie. That's comments at galwaybfm.ie. You can also just call us on 0917700077 and we can get in contact with you as well. That's it for today. Back live from Studio One with you tomorrow morning. Fairly full programme. Mary Coughlin joins us on tomorrow morning's programme. She's coming to town over the weekend. That's going to be a bit of a hoot, so it is. And much more on tomorrow morning's programme, including organ donation and the recent law that was passed. We'll get to that tomorrow. Don't forget, Friday morning, we are shelving the regular programme. We've got the Galway Lions Club auction kicking off at 9 o'clock from this very studio on Friday morning, just after the 9 o'clock news. John Morley produced, and thanks to him, Siobhan took your comments, but from yours truly, Keith Finnegan. I'll be joining you tomorrow just after 12 midday news, 9 a.m. news. Where am I going? Just after the 9 a.m. news tomorrow, join us. 12 midday news coming up shortly. Stay tuned for that and much more. Good morning to you.
Galway Talks in association with Tesco. Keep it local. Working with over 30 new West of Ireland suppliers.